I want to talk to you about a love to die for. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Hear the word of God. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love toward us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. We love slang. I think Americans may love slang more than any other people in the world. And thinking about that this week, I thought back more than 30 years ago when I was in the home of a Russian family who were learning to speak English. And they had several books of teaching, some elementary, some more advanced. And none of them dealt with American slang. And one of the things I was frequently asked was, teach us some American slang. I was also asked, teach us some ugly American words, and I said, no, I cannot do that. But one night we left this particular family's house after a time of fellowship together. And as we left, somebody in our group said, well, we have to hit the road. An expression familiar to us means we're on our way, we're getting going. And I remember Vladimir, the husband, said, what does it mean, hit the road? Why are you hitting the road? And we tried to explain to him that, you know, it's a colloquialism, it's an expression for traveling, we're moving on, and as we put our feet forward, we're hitting the road. And he said, that may make sense to Americans, but it makes no sense to Russians. Well, our slang terms arise when we're looking for superlatives. Words to describe the highest or the utmost degree of something. It's not big, it's humongous. We attach super or mega to a word. And something's not just funny, it's a laugh and a half. And in an effort to get even more vibrant expressions, we even move into the extremes of life and death. I remember with fondness that Kroger used to sell a chocolate cake that was so packed with chocolate, it was not called super chocolate or even mega chocolate. It was called death by chocolate. The ultimate is when something is so good, it is to die for. Oh, that cake is so good, it is to die for. And when we're trying to find the height of conveying our love for something, what stronger love, what stronger language can we get than that? Or, you should see his car, it's to die for. And when it comes right down to it, I don't know anybody who's willing to die for chocolate cake. Or for a great car, but it certainly expresses vividly the height of our appreciation for those things. And if you're going to die for a chocolate cake, I think maybe the batteries are dead in the microphone, that's what's doing it. If we're going to die for a chocolate cake or die for a car, you're not going to get to taste it or drive it. So that expression, I'm not really sure the value of it. But love is often demonstrated in sacrifice. You know the story of O. Henry's The Gift of the Magi, about two young people recently married, not having enough money to buy a Christmas present for the other, and each of them selling something very precious to them to buy a gift for the other. You remember Della had beautiful long hair, and she cut her hair to buy a gold chain for James's pocket watch. And James sold his pocket watch to buy hair combs for Della's beautiful long hair. Our willingness to sacrifice what is precious to us is a practical, visible way to show our love for others. And what's ultimately most precious to us is life itself. The giving of one's life is the ultimate sacrifice. You've probably heard the story of the young man who said to his girlfriend, "I'd climb the highest mountain for you, I'd swim the deepest ocean, I'd give my very life for you." And she says, "Oh honey, that's wonderful, but what I really need is for you to come help me clean the garage on Saturday." And he says, "Are you kidding? Now you're just trying to use me." It's easy to say I'd die for you when we're pretty sure we won't ever be called on to fulfill that vow. If it's true that love is demonstrated through sacrifice, the giving of our life is the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate expression of love for a human being. It was 40 years ago, but I remember when Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed after taking off from Detroit's Metropolitan Airport. Of the 154 people on board, only one survived. A little girl, 4 years old, named Cecilia. When the airplane began to drop out of the sky, her mother unfastened her seatbelt, knelt on the floor in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms around her daughter, and held on as the plane crashed. And that act of sacrifice saved her daughter's life. It was the ultimate expression of love. Stories like that show us the noblest and truest expressions of human love. Consider this one. The young lieutenant was recently graduated from West Point and was sent to Vietnam in the mid-1960s to lead a group of new recruits into battle. He did his job well, trying his best to keep his men from ambush and death, but one day the enemy overwhelmed them. And as they fell back, one member of the platoon was wounded and was left behind. And as the lieutenant and his men gathered in safety, they could hear their comrade in pain and still alive. And they knew that to go out across this battlefield to rescue their comrade would probably mean death both for the rescuer and for the young man who was wounded. But the lieutenant went out anyway, got his wounded soldier, brought him back, but he himself was shot and died there on the battlefield. Well, after the rescued man returned to the United States, he happened to be in the area where the lieutenant had lived, and the lieutenant's parents heard that he was in the area. And they wanted to do something. They wanted to meet this young man who cost them so much. They invited him for dinner. And when he showed up, he was drunk. He was rowdy. He was obnoxious. He told off-color stories. He showed no gratitude for the sacrifice of the soldier who had given his life to save him. The grieving parents did their best to make his visit worthwhile, but their efforts went unrewarded. And as he left, the father closed the door and the mother slumped down, weeping and saying, "To think my precious son had to die for somebody like that." And then I hear the voice of the Lord God Almighty, "To think that my precious son had to die for someone like that." That's what Paul says in our text today. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He did not die for us once our good deeds began to outweigh the bad deeds. He did not die for us when he saw that we were basically good people. While we were yet sinners, while we had no interest in Him and paid no attention to Him and thought nothing of Him, while we were helpless to save ourselves, He died for us. The highest, noblest expression of human love is the willingness to die for someone we find worthy. Usually that worthiness is based on a relationship. We may be willing to die for someone in our own family. Like the young lieutenant, we may be willing to die for someone we're responsible for, regardless of whether we have much of a relationship with them. But Paul says it is unlikely that someone would die for a good person. Literally, for someone who's morally upstanding. Would you be willing to die for someone just because they're morally upright? I don't know if I would. Then Paul says it's a bit more likely someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. And you think about someone like Mother Teresa. Would you die for someone like that? I still don't know if I would. Few would be willing to die for someone just because they were righteous, or even because we saw them as truly good. The only reason most people would be willing to die for another is out of love. But the love of God exceeds the most noble expression of human love. Jesus loved us enough to die for us, not when we were righteous, not when we were good, but just because He loved us. And the proof? Look at the cross. There it is. Proof positive that God loves you. To stare at the cross is to get the clearest, deepest look into the heart of God. And what do we see as we gaze into the heart of God? Do we see judgment? No, although those who reject His love will be judged. Is it, you lousy sinner? No, even though all of us have sinned and fallen so far short of the glory of God, we've all rejected Him at some time. When we get the clearest, deepest look into the heart of God, what we see, what we hear is, I love you. Jesus says, when I think of what I love the most, I think of you. I love you enough to die to restore the relationship broken by sin. Jesus says, it wasn't my fault, it was yours. But I'm willing to die to restore that relationship. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross of Christ is the proof that God loves you. You are to die for.